Okay, we're picking up from Mem Hei Amud Beis. We are three lines from the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Beis. We're starting off with the Gemara. We're continuing on the discussion of the candelabra. The Gemara is wondering, why is the candelabra mukta? So the Gemara says, by Tamamai, what's the reason why a candelabra is mukta and it's usher to move it on Shabbos? So the Gemara now says, Rabbi and Rav Yosef, who both said, because a person usually designates a specific place for it, and it's not meant to be moved, that creates the fact that it is mukta because you don't intend on moving it, and it shows you that your person's das, his mind, is never to move that. So therefore, something that generally has a place and therefore miyuchad for a certain place, that's going to become mukta. So the Gemara asks the question of Abaye Zakasha, the Sarmale Abaye Rav Yosef, Vihare Kilas Chasanim. But what about they had this type of canopy that was used over for the chasanim, for the bridal bed. So this had, it had two vertical poles, and then it had one in the middle, and a third pole that extended the top from there, and it was formed over this type of curtain. So the Gemara says that it's still Adam Kovel Malkom, Ramar Shmuel, Ramar Shmuel Thiam, Kalas Chasanim, Mutar and Tosa, Mutar Parag of a Shabbos. So that this type of thing, a person designates a place for it, and Shmuel said that this type of bed, you're allowed to move it on he didn't say allowed to move it. He actually said specifically you're allowed to spread it open and it can and taken down on Shabbos. Shmuel was in the context of the din of ohel. When it comes to an ohel, he's telling you that if something's not horizontal and you're going to slant it less than a tefach, that would not be an issue of stiras ohel, of destroying an ohel on Shabbos, which is usher, depending on what situation, stiras ohel on this with deraisa, but the ohel not kavua would be a derbanan. But either way, he was telling you that you're allowed to take it down on Shabbos. But for our purposes, he was saying that you're allowed to move it. That was the meaning. Clearly, obviously, if you're allowed to take it down, then there's no issue with being metalta and moving it around. And for us, we see that it's obviously not going to be mukta. So therefore, Rav Yosef was challenged by Abaye. So therefore, Abaye says, Zomshat, Nelam Rabaye, Bishel Chulios. Rish Lakish, Rav Yochanan, we're talking about a case of a candelabra that had a lot of sections to it. And what was the chashash? That a person, Rashi points out, if it's going to come apart when it falls, you're then going to put it back in. And when you do it, when you put it back in, you'd be doing a problem of Makabe Patish. You would be completing the final strike, literally, meaning that you're completing an item, and that would be Makabe Patish. That was the chashash over here. So therefore, that's why we're afraid it's going to break. Then you'll reassemble it. Reassembling it would constitute an Isser, potentially deraisa if your mom is finishing it off. That was the chashash for the Rabbanan over here. So the Gemara now asks, if that's the case, then how could it possibly be that anyone holds Rabbi Shimon Lakish in this situation, holds that it's permitted to move this candelabra? How is that possible? It's clearly something that's a real chash. It's going to be a chash that the person is going to violate his deraisa. Why does he hold that it's not mukta? So the Gemara says, therefore, my chulios, when Abaye said this, that he said candelabra has sections, it looks like it has sections, the ispe chidke, that it has these type of grooves, that it makes it look like it has separate parts. However, it's not necessarily have separate parts. But what was our chash? That a person's going to look at it and say, whoa, this looks like it has a lot of different parts, and yet you're allowed to carry it and move it. So I also, and it's not muksa, so therefore I'm going to assume that other the things with real parts, with real chulios, are not going to be muksa. But real chulios, we said, clearly are going to be problematic. So therefore, that's the machlokas of Yochanan and Rish Lakish in this situation. So the Gemara says, so now we're going to summarize. The Gemara says, Hilka Chulios Bing Dola Bing Tana Asur Tata. So therefore, if the candelabra has sections, so it doesn't matter if it's a small candelabra or a large one, it is going to be Asur Tzmukta, because again, we're afraid you're coming to move it. Gedola Nami to Isbe Chidke. So even a large candelabra that doesn't actually have real sections, but it looks like it does, that also is going to be mukta, because it looks zero to gedola chulios, is going to look like one that has sections. So therefore, it's going to be usher to move it. When is machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? The Yochanan is the following, ki pligi biktana deis bechidki, marshav agazunan, marshav alagazunan. When machlokas is when you have a small candelabra that has these grooves on it. So again, because it's like a double gzera over here. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that we still have a gzera. Low pluk, it doesn't matter. Whereas Rish Lakish says, no, that's not fair. Over here, the small candelabra is usually made of one piece. Someone's going to see that. They're going to know that it's not talking about one of the chulios, that it's one that has sections, and therefore there's no reason to make a gzera as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan, which I said before. It's just saying, low pluk, the rabbis made a gzera. All types of candelabras are usher to move on Shabbos. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to go back to going back to Rabbi Yitzchak. We quoted Rabbi Yitzchak, named Rabbi Yochanan, that said that Rabbi Yochanan passing like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, oh, is that really true? Me, Rabbi Yochanan really passing like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yochanan always tell us the rule that that when you have a regular Mishnah that's not authored, and that's the Pesach, and doesn't tell you what it is, we always pass on like that Mishnah. So Vitznan, and we learned, we actually saw this on a few Dapim ago, we saw this on Mem Dalet, I think. So we saw over there, it was a few Dapim ago, the Mar says, that it says, Mukhnisha, when it comes to the wheel, Bizman Shinish Metis, when it's removable, in Chibrullah, it's not considered attached to the wagon. Venim Nevesimban, it's not measured together with the wagon in terms of, we discussed before, we got into all the details of why that would be with regards to Tumah, that if something is considered movable, then it's going to become a problem of Tumah. If something is not movable, then there's the Gemara learns out, and it stops for, again, if you want to look back, we said before that all the reasonings. Ve'in Matel Simal Be'ol Ameis. And it also cannot protect it when it comes to, when it passes over a dead body. So this was the part that we were mentioning, that a person can't drag this wagon when there's money in the wheel. However, this implies that if there's no money in the wheel, it's permitted to drag it. And what is the deal the Gemara wants to make? Even though there was money during Bein Hashmashos, which according to Rabbi Yehuda would hold that that's Migo Diskatzela Bein Hashmashos Kaliyoma. The moment that it was there for all of Bein Hashmashos, it should be a problem. The entire Shabbos is considered Mukta. And Rabbi Shimon, we know, rejected that principle. And this Mishnah seems to imply that as long as there wasn't money there at any point of Shabbos, even though there was money there for the beginning of Shabbos, then it would be permitted to move this wheel. That follows Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Yehuda. So this Stam Mishnah in Kalim is following Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yochanan, whose you rule is, we always go like the Stam Mishnah, he should pass him like this Mishnah, which follows Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara now answers, Amr Rabbi Zera, Tehei, Mishnah Seinu, Shelo, Haya, Alea, Ma'os, Kol, Ben Hashmash. So he said, Rabbi Zera said that the Mishnah can be understood where there was no money throughout Bein Hashmashos, Shelo Lishpar Dvar Shabbi Yochanan, in order that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't seem to be austere with himself. That you can explain, Rashi says, that when it says Mukhni, and the implication that we said, when there is no Maus, it's Mutter to move it, that meant that there was no Mutter throughout Bein Hashmashos, and that's the Diuk. Right? When there is Maos, when on Shabbos began, it's going to be Aser. When there isn't, it's going to be Mutter. That's what the Mishnah meant to say. Again, it's not the most glatt read, it's not the most simple reading of this Mishnah, but once we're stuck, because we have Rabbi Yitzchak who told us we pass on the Rabbi Yehuda, and this Sam Mishnah does seem to imply a Rabbi Shimon, so we can be Marthik ourselves, we can get out of it, and assume that the Mishnah is going to be lined up with Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, albeit not the easiest reading, but since it does work out, then in order Rabbi Yochanan does not associate himself, contradict himself, we come up with this teretz. So now the Gemara says, another halacha with regards to Mukta, Amar Bishub and Levi, Pamachas halach Rebbe Ledus Parah. Went to some sort of city, Vihora Benora Ker Bishimon Biner. And he paskined with regards to a candelabra, Eik Rabbi Shimon did with regards to a lamp. So the Gemara is wondering, is this two halachic statements or one? So Rashi says, Gemara says, Ibaila, Hora Benora Ker Bishimon Biner Laetera. Rabbi Shimon Levi meant that Rebbe paskined one single ruling that meant that a candelabra, just as Rabbi Shimon said, it is mutter, that it's, you're allowed to move a candelabra, just as Rabbi Shimon said, it's mutter to use a used lamp, right? A used lamp was not, because Rabbi Shimon didn't hold of the concept of mukta machmas mia, so he said a used lamp is mutter. Oh, Dilmar, maybe Rabbi was saying two different halachic statements over here, one with regards to the candelabra that had the grooves on it, and the other one concerning a used lamp. What would that mean? That would mean like the following, Hora b'minora le'isura. He ruled with regards to the grooved candelabra that it's usher to move it, and Rabbi Shimon b'ner le'tira, and Rabbi happened to baskin like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that it's mutter to move a used lamp. He doesn't hold of the concept of mukta machmas mius. So the two stances, the Gemara says, Teiko, that is a contradiction unresolved. Just to point out, that's Rashi's reading, how I just explained it. Tosfos has a different explanation. Because they seem to be two different issues. Bethal, what do the candelabra have anything to do with the two statements or one? Then what? But the candelabra has nothing to do with using moving a used lamp. Seems like they have nothing to do with each other. Okay, I and the Tosfos for a different shot on the Gemara. The Gemara continues them with different halachas of Mukta. Rav Malkia, different Amorah, what they did. Rav Malkia ikla lebe Rav Simlai. Rav Malkia visited another Amorah, Rav Simlai. Vil Tiltol Shagra, Vikbir Simlai. And he was there, he moved a lamp that was lit the beginning of Shabbos, and he held like Rabbi Shimon. Once it went out, he moved it, Rashi says. And Rabbi Simlai objected, he held like Rabbi Yehuda. So we see Rabbi Nikolai held like Rabbi Malkia, held like Rabbi Shimon, whereas Rabbi Simlai held like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara continues, now Rabbi Yossi, Galila, Ikla, Asri, the Rabbi Yossi, Bar Chanina. This is not Rabbi Yossi at Glili, rather Rabbi Yossi, the Amora, was visiting Rabbi Yossi at Tanah Chanina. Taltal Shraga, he moved the lamp that had been gone on Shabbos. The Ikbid Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, because he held like Rabbi Yehuda. Again, the same Amoraim, so we see that it wasn't clear in the Amoraim which Tanaim should we paskin like. Okay, so the Gemara now continues with Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu was a Talmud of both Rabbi Yochanan and also Rabbi Shimon Levi. But Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yochanan argued, so they were going to wonder, what did he do? Rabbi Yochanan held with Rabbi Yehuda, that holds anything that it's usher, beginning of Bina Shemasha, so the Nair, you're not allowed to move the lamp. However, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi agreed with Rabbi Shimon, who holds that you are allowed to move it. So what did Rabbi, the Gemara is wondering now, what did Rabbi Abba, who was a Talmud of both of them, how did he do? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Abba, ki ikla la'asri de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, mital toshak. And when he was visiting Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he moved the lamp that had gone on Shabbos. However, ki ikla la'asri de Rabbi Yochanan, lo'av mital toshak. And when he visited Rabbi Yochanan, in respect of his Rabbi, he did not move the lamp. But to which the Gemara asks, manav shach. If you're like Rabbi Yehuda, Liavi Rabbi Yehuda, then he should have done it consistently like Rabbi Yehuda, and meaning and say that it's usher to move this lamp. How could he move it when he was by Rabbi Shimon Levi? So the Gemara says, and also Rabbi Shimon Levi, Liavi Rabbi Shimon. If he held like Rabbi Shimon, then he should have paskined that you're allowed to move it even when he was with by Rabbi Yochanan. What's the difference? So the Gemara answers now, La'olam Rabbi Shimon's for that. No, he really held like Rabbi Shimon, and you're allowed to move it. And Mushim Kavod Rabbi Yochanan de Lo'avid. And it was out of deference to Rabbi Yochanan that he wouldn't do it. He did not move it, even though he held those fundamentally mutter. Rashi points out, why couldn't he say the other way around? That he really held like Rabbi Yehuda why couldn't we assume that the other way around? That he would have moved it, even though he really held that it was Asur. So Rashi says, it can. If a guy holds that it's Asur, even for a kavod of a Rebbe, even your Rebbe holds that it's Mutter, that would not be allowed to do it. It gets into the fundamental question sometimes when a person does something, if it's Betoras a Psak or Betoras a Chumra, in terms of when he could be Mekot or not. If he really holds it, it's really Asur to do it, then it would be very problematic for him to do it even for sake of kavod. But if it's just a Chumra, then a person's Chumra should not necessarily invoke kavod issues or things like that. There's a famous story with the Shlomo Zalman. At one time, he was walking on the street and he saw these two kids who were like, whatever, I don't know, kids are in their 20s or whatever, and their father was like 50 years old, a little bit older already. The father was carrying a heavy bench, and the two kids weren't, and the Shlomo Zalman was so upset by this. So what are you guys doing? It was Shabbos. So what are you guys doing? They said, we don't hold the Erev. These guys are shotas. Your father is 50 years old, who could barely walking and struggling to walk, is holding your bench. So it's like then, obviously there's someone else held that the Erev is a chumra, and if you guys want to be machmir, don't do it for the sake of kibbutz avayim, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So a person has to shirk a lot of times when he has a chumra, as opposed to when something's mamish usher. But if it was mamish and isser, then I don't think we would have had that story for someone's Zalman. If there was no Erev at all, and the father insisted on carrying something, then you can't. The Torah says you don't listen to your parents to violate an isser. But again, there's pointing out that a person has to be mishakel when something is a chumra, when something is just a real isser. So now the Gemara goes back to the machlokas of Yehuda, where it says, Amar of Yehuda, Shraga de Mishcha Sharla Tutula. An oil lamp is allowed to be moved on Shabbos. The nafta also tata, but a nafta lamp, we said before, the nafta lamp was extremely repulsive and very bad smelling. So then, you're not allowed to move it because there's no uses at all other than lighting it. So that's how the Achronim explain. Which would have a big nafka mina agav, because if something is a kli shem nafta ister, it's still a kli, but there's no purpose. So then it would be a shaila if a person is allowed to move that at all. With a lot of the electronic appliances, some poskim want to kleina that maybe that they would fit into this category. What do you ever use a cell phone for other than the isser? Like, you can't use it for something else. So then others got to get out of it and say, no, you can always, fundamentally something you can use it for. Don't tell me you can't use a cell phone for something else. But this is an important chumra. A lot of people are machmir on things which have no usage whatsoever except for an isser. And nowadays, with the electronic appliances, a lot of them might fit into that category, which would then not make it a klishim laktal isser, which is tzarech gufo, tzarech mekomo, allowed to move, meaning if it's on your table, you're allowed to move it, but this could then change it into the category of mukta kulo isser, which would then, again, a chumra, but if there's some people passing like this, it'd be usher to move it, even though tzarech gufo, tzarech mekomo, which would be a big chumra for a lot of things nowadays. And we're now going to discuss this. Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Tevayim, Tanafta Nami Sharla Tutula, they held that you're allowed to move it. So we're either going to have the Hoyel Be'im Nuna that you can cover yourself with it. We're going to see that the Gemara is going to mention in a moment, so the Marshal took out that gear. So Gemara now says, so Rav Avia Ikla, Rav Avia was once in Rav's house. Havi Ma'asin Be'kar Be'bitna. So there was his shoes were dirty. They had mud on them. Esvi Apuria. Kame de Rava. So he stood and he put them on the bed in front of Rava, and Rava was very ikbid Rava. Rava was very upset about this. Rava says, "You just got my bed all dirty. What is this?" So boy, that's true. So therefore, Rava decided to challenge him and embarrass him with halacha that he didn't know, in order to punish him for ruining his bed. So he said, "Amar le my time at Rabbi Rav Yosef Zemar Tavayu Shagat and after Nar Mishal Tatulia." What's the reason? He asked him a hard kasha, something he didn't think he was going to know. Why is this nafta lamp asur to move on Shabbos? Amar le Rav Avi responded, "Hal v'chazal chsubim mane." Because they held that it's mutter, because there is something that can be used. There is a useful, there's something, even though albeit something has to be really far-fetched, as long as it's useful for anything. So here they held that it's, you can cover a vessel with it, it's going to be mutter to move it on Shabbos, not full of minality muksas. And when I ask, Rabbi asked the kashla, El Me'ata, Kol Trosha B'chatzer Metaltlin. But now that that's true, we should be permitted to move all the stones in the courtyard. Why? You can cover a vessel with them also with these stones. No, the fundamental difference. When it comes to the lamp, it has the status of utensils. So as long as there's a far-fetched purpose that you could use it for, then you'd be muter. However, these stones have no status of a kli. They're something just useless. So muktzah makmas gufo, you cannot move them at all, even for tzorach of something that would be mutter. Unless, again, we're going to tell later, but unless the person designates them beforehand, then he would make it a Torah's kli, then you would be allowed to use it in a machal. If the person took a stone that he knew they needed to use for whatever purpose, to lie down or something, then it would be mutter to have to use that stone on Shabbos. So the Gemara now says, Milo Tanya, was it not taught in the Braisa though, that he's bringing a raya for his proof, Rav Avi is bringing a raya, Hashav and Ezam and Tbas, all types of bracelets, sometimes a nose ring and another ring, Haran, Kekela, Matala, and Bechatzer. Their utensils are allowed to be moved in the courtyard. Vamar Ula, Ma'atam, and Rav Ula said, what's the reasoning for this Mishnah, that they're not considered Mukta? Ha'avika Torah Skli Alea, is because they have a status of utensil, even though it's very far-fetched that you're going to use them for anything else. However, their secondary use is mutter on Shabbos, so therefore you are going to say that's not necessarily muktzah to move them in the chatzar. Rav Avi therefore concluded that here too, in the case of the lamp, it's not muktzah because that's the status of the utensil. Agav, why are we talking about moving the utensils in a courtyard as opposed to outside? That's a little shayla we'll get to later. Meretz Hashem, in a few dapim actually. It's not so later. It's in the Gemara in the Samachs. The Gemara is going to discuss over there that it's usher to move things outside because we're afraid it'll take it off. Certain jewelry, Baba Ishiotza, so much can she go out with? We're afraid you're going to take it off and walk to Al-Abbas for Sarabim. So the shayla was, do you extend that gzera to the courtyard as well? So our mission over here is obviously holding, this price over here is holding that it's not an issue. But then we're going to say that that's a machlokas, just wanted to point that out. So the Gemara now says, so again, the Gemara now answers, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Baruch Hachmanu de la Kasvi Rava le Rav Avia. So Baruch Hashem, the Rava didn't get away with his plan to embarrass Rav Avia, so Nachman just pointing this out. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara asks, a stira between the Shita. That is, in one place, the Gemara says now, Rami le Abaye le Rava. So Abaye asks a question in Rava, to Rava. Tanya Moser Hashem and Shemaneir Vekora Aser. The leftover oil in a lamp or in a bowl is Aser to use even after the flame goes out. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon permits it. That's the brisa we saw below, that we saw it before, that Rabbi Shimon rejects that something that was usher to mishmash was a mutter. So the Gemara now says though, Alma Rabbi Shimon leis a mukta. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the broad application of mukta. Or Aminu though, we have a steer though, because he holds of mukta in the following case. Rabbi Shimon omer, kol she'in mumonikrim erev yontov in ze minamucha. Rabbi Shimon holds that any blemish that wasn't recognized while it was still during the day prior to yontov, it's considered not prepared and it's not going to be allowed to be shechtam yontov. So what in the world are we talking about? So we have to give it back in the world. There is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Torah tells us that you have to give a bechor, the firstborn male offspring of a cow, sheep, or goat. Those are kadosh, and you give those to the gift to the kohen. Now, what does the kohen have to do with it? The Torah tells you that the kohen has to bring it as a korban, and he has to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. However, if there is a mum kavua, if there is a permanent mum, that will disqualify it from ever being brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Then it is considered the mamon kohen, and it's going to be mutter for the kohen to shecht and eat it wherever he wanted. Now, a bechor was something that was were choshesh that the kohanim would either do a mum or not know what the halachas of the mum properly be makel because it's a whole fresh piece of meat and they have to be matriach to go bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, we have a takana that only a mumcha, an expert who is specifically got heter hora to be dan dine bechoros, is allowed to judge the case to say whether it's a permanent mum or not because they're very, very complex and very difficult. So the Gemara says that here, a person, even if he realized that he had a mum, but he didn't think it was necessarily a mum, a blemish that would be considered a mum kavua, or he wasn't able to bring it to a mumcha, to bring it to an expert, then that animal is considered a mukta, and you cannot shecht it, even if you is mukta, and therefore you're not allowed to shecht an animal, not allowed to move it on yantiv. Normally, you are allowed, again, you are allowed to shecht an animal on yantiv. A person wanted fresh meat. That was part of the bitoch, that a person is allowed to cut the shecht animals. It's part of the achila process. So the Gemara is saying, though, that this animal is going to be considered mukta. But wait a second, why does Rabbi Shimon over here hold up this idea being mukta? So the Gemara says, wait, what are you comparing it to? Now, in this case, Rabbi Shimon would agree it's not mukta. Why? Because he's saying that the moment, he's waiting for, when is this moment going to happen that the lamp goes out? He's waiting the whole time, so therefore he wants to use the oil. So therefore, that even though it was usher during Banish Mashos, but he's still waiting for the time after Banish Mashos to then use it. However, here, a person's going to wait for when did the animal going to develop the bamesh? He's going to say to himself, oh, what are the chances that he's going to develop a mum kavua? And even say he has a blemish, who says it's going to be a permanent blemish, in which it's mutter for me to shecht there now? I pointed out mum that's not kavua, that it's mum over, it's called, it's something that will heal, then you have no right, you have to wait till it heals to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, and even if you assume that all this will happen, I think that it's really a mum kavua, it's a permanent blemish and now I can eat it, I have to go bring it to a mumcha. Where am I going to find a mumcha, someone who's an expert on yantiv? And not only that, the expert, besides for that, the expert's actually not even allowed to paskin it, because there's a din that one is not allowed to paskin a din to make an expert ruling. That basting is usher to make a psak. There's usher to have basting getting involved on yomtiv, so that itself is going to be another reason why this is all this animal's mukta according to Rav Shimon. So therefore, there's a big chiluk between the two cases, between the lamb and the bechor. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to annul a vow on Shabbos. Also, a person, they were talking about being a husband and his wife, and over here, also allowed a person himself who made a neder, he made a vow that something that's going to affect his Shabbos, he's also allowed to be made for it, to annul it on Shabbos with a chacham. So the Gemara is saying, why don't we say the same svar? Why should we assume that maybe at the beginning of Shabbos he should say the wife made a vow and the husband has the right? The halacha is that the husband has the right, right? The husband has the right to be made for the neder to annul the vow on the day that he hears about. Bayom Shama. So she's going to say it. So let's say she says, I'm not eating Shabbos day meal with my husband. So the husband, why? He wants to eat the Shabbos meal with her. So he's going to go to the chacham and matter it. But shouldn't we have the svara though? The Rashi says it. It's going to make like mukta ki'ilu, that she had in her mind that she wasn't eating Shabbos day meal with her husband. So she was megaladas. She was sure that she doesn't want to eat. She's not going to eat with him. And she doesn't know that her husband's going to be able to get involved and annul it. Maybe she's, why is she, if it's all about being tola and das someone else, thinking someone else might not do something for you, that makes it mukta according to Rav Shimon. So then why is this neder ki'ilu mukta, and you're not allowed to be made for the neder to null the vow, because that's similar to a situation relying on someone else like the bechor. So if that's the case, the Mishnah seems to be problematic. So the Gemara says, no. Hasam kidirav pinchas mishmei derava. This is because the Rav Pinchas neder saying the Rava, then Rav Chedek neder Rava, kol anoderos hadas bad anoderos. Even kol anoderos, any woman who is making a vow is immediately, and her mindset already knows that it's going to be on condition that her husband hears about it, he's going to be happy about it. So since she knows that it's based on her husband's consent, she knows that if he gets involved with annulling it, that's a high probability of something she thought would have very likely happened, even on Shabbos, and therefore it's not considered mukta. So the Gemara now says, that's fine with the first case. What about the second case, though? Tashma, nishalin adar, mitzvot torah shabbos b'shabbos, a person who made a neder, let's say himself. Now, nothing to do with a wife. A guy says, I'm not drinking wine. Say what you do with the wine in the mitzvah to make kiddush. Wine is whatever. I'm not going to enjoy Shabbos as much without my wine. So you can go to the chacham and he's allowed to annul it even on Shabbos. But if something has to do with Shabbos, then you shouldn't make a neder neder. Guy says on Tuesday he's not going to have eggs. Okay, that's nothing to do with Shabbos. You're not allowed to have the chacham be matzah that on Shabbos. However, the Gemara asks though, "Amai lema miyemar demzak lechacham?" But wait a second. Why don't we say the same thing though? He made a vow on Friday afternoon. He made the neder on Friday afternoon. But let's say, so he says, who's going to find someone on Shabbos, Friday night or Shabbos day, to have him allowed to drink wine because it's oneg Shabbos for him? Maybe he won't find someone. So once he's taloi and someone else is finding someone else, this chacham, which isn't likely, maybe you should assume that it's mukta for him to be the match of the neder. So the Gemara says, no, because there the halacha is, when it comes to this type of vow, this is what we do every we always use shlosha adiotos. We do a taras nedarim. When we have a neder for something we got involved with and we don't want to do it, we do the makar neder for three people every Rosh Hashanah. People always do this. That's what we do. So that's the halacha. A person allowed to use it with any three commoners. So everyone knows they'll find three people. So that is something that he always thought he'll have the ability to release, and therefore it's mutter even according to Rav Shimon. So the Gemara says it, but then, as opposed to Hacham Yemar, to Bezak Lechacha, but when it comes to before, that ability doesn't exist according to anyone, because you can't have Shlosha Adiotos, you can't have three laymen, regular people do it, you can only have a Chacham be the one who is matched to the Neder, and therefore you're going to say, oh, maybe there's going to be no Chacham that comes to it. Okay, so the Gemara answers over there that we don't have a Stira. So now the Gemara goes back to the what we saw before with Rav Shimon on the lamp on Shabbos that gone out. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Le Abaye, Rav Yosef, Mi Amar Rav Shimon Kavsa Mutal Tata. Rav Shimon really say that once the lamp goes out, it's permitted to move it. Kavsa in, lo kavsa lo, which implies that only after it's gone out is it mutter to move it. However, while it's still burning, he assumes you're not allowed to move the lamp. So the Gemara asks, my time up. So, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon that doesn't allow you to move the lamp while it is still burning? So the Gemara says a reasoning. Dilma behadid nakat lay kavsa, because maybe when you're moving it, it's going to extinguish, and then you'll do an iser d'oraisa of putting out the flame of kibbutz. But the Gemara says that if it's only not 100% chance it might happen, then we know that Rabbi Shimon holds davar shemiskavin ha shamin le Rabbi Shimon davar shemiskavin is mutter. That something that's unintended, which won't for sure happen, not up secretion, not something that's guaranteed to happen. If I move it, and 20% of the chance, 30% chance, 40% chance, even a high 70% chance, something that will happen when I move this lamp, it's still mutter because I didn't have kavana to extinguish the light. Tisanya, Rabbi Shimon Homer, Gori Adam Kisim Metav Sal. So we saw this price many times already. Rabbi Shimon says a person is allowed to drag a chair, a bench, or a bed on Shabbos. As long as he has in mind not to make a faro. So we see that if something is not 100% going to happen, Rav Shimon holds that, and it's not your kavanah to do the malacha, then Rav Shimon holds that it's mutter. So Rav Yosef wants to give a potential tarot to be rejected. Rav Yosef says, now, when is the chiluk that if someone would intend for the forbidden action, then there would be an iser d'oraisa. So then, in such a case, right, kibbutz by them there, that is going to be iser kilo mechaven Rav Shimon Rabbanan. Rav Shimon would still hold an iser d'rabanan to do that action. So over here, even though so since kibbutz is an iser d'oraisa, and the way I'm bringing it out, I'm bringing it and moving it, so that's a regular way of blowing out, of getting out candles to get blown out. That would be an iser d'oraisa. However, when I'm doing something, would only be an iser d'rabanan. That is that when you're dragging the bench, that's not a way you'll dig a ditch. You don't dig something. You don't dig a ditch by dragging a bench. How do you do it? You take a shovel and you dig. That's the iser d'oraisa. So this is only klachar yad. This is considered an unusual manner, which is only an iser d'rabanan at the most, because you're doing a malacha in an unusual manner. It's only iser d'rabanan, not iser d'oraisa. So kilo mekavet sharin Shimon lechatzila. So when a guy has no kavanah for it whatsoever, there Rav Shimon says that it's mutter. So the Gemara rejects this. I'm hasty of Rava. Rava has a kasha on this principle that Rav Yosef wants to tie up because of the following mishnah. We know mochrin ksus mochrin kedarka. We saw this mishnah quoted earlier. That person who's selling garments is allowed to sell them in their usual manner. That a person has intended in the summer months to protect it from the sun, or in the winter months to protect them from the rain. That's this again where you know they have climb on them to sell them. But if someone's machmir, then you could put them behind you and not wear them. So, but here, this is a case of if a person's wearing them, he's violating the iser d'oraisa of wearing chatnis. So, and we still say that if it's not your kavana, it's still mutter to wear them. Again, we got into the whole thing. Maybe it's only where you don't know about it, or where it's whatever the exceptions. That was a big machlokas on the rush. Not going to discuss them again. But the point for here is that lamas kavan sharav shemana chazila. In a situation where a person is not intending for the iser, it's going to be mutter outright according to Shimon, totally 100%, no shilas. Even where it's an iser d'oraisa that we're discussing over here. So therefore, we reject of Yosef, and then we come on to elamar rava. Though the reason Rav Shimon does not allow you to move the nair while it's lit is because of the following, because he agrees with the following principle of Vanathanela Shaman Aptila, the holy oil Vanasa basis to Davara Asr, that the lamp and the oil and the wick, those are not allowed to move because they serve as a base to something that's Asr, and the basis to Davara Asr, a type of muksa, which doesn't allow you to move something, even Rabbi Shimon agrees, is Asr to move it on Shabbos. Okay, we'll pick up from here tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem, I've time for today.